And our job is to stay very, very close to Scripture, to not let distinctives get in the way, traditions to get into the way. We need to stay close to God's Word, and that's why we are sticking in Luke. This dovetails with sticking with Luke through Advent. We never deviated. We didn't go into Matthew. We didn't go into other places. And so, if you notice from the first screen there, it said Sermon 6. You go, wait a minute, isn't this Sermon 1? No, this is 6 because we've already done 5 sermons in December on Luke. So this is number 6 in the series already. Wow, we're already in. We're getting into chapter 2. And I want to remind you here, just to keep in focus, that Jesus Christ was sent into the family of ordinary people, everyday Jewish people. He was not sent to royalty. He was not sent to anybody special. I mean, Mary was a teenager. This is her firstborn. She doesn't know how to raise children. This is her first try at it. Early in my teaching career, we had children that were just out of diapers. And I was talking to parents at parent-teacher conference about their 6th, 7th, 8th grade middle schoolers acting like orangutans. And I realized I had no hands-on with those kind of people in my home. They would later on. But Mary and Joseph were doing it all in free fall. The people that they hung out with in Nazareth were regular, ordinary people as well. And so they followed the Torah. They lived their life the best that they could, learning as they went, just like us, living what would become the Gospels. So we're going to pick it up today in Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52. If you want to take out your Bibles and follow along with me, or it will be up on the screen, Luke 41 to 52. Just like the birth narrative, this is not new material. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Ah, there you go. That's why we were in Deuteronomy 16, the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in the company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Is there anybody in here who has never heard this story before? So what am I going to say that's different? Well, let's dig in and see. Verses 41 and 42. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Now, scholars immediately note that his parents were pious, devout Jewish people. They followed the mandates of the law. Men were instructed by the law to make the trip to Jerusalem. Remember, it said, do not take the Passover in any town except what the Lord chooses. That was Jerusalem. David established that as the capital of Israel. That's where the temple was built by Solomon. That is the place. And men were commanded to go three times a year to Jerusalem to these festivals. One of them was Passover, and it was in the spring. That is why, because tying in the Passover with the Lord's Supper, our Easter is connected with Passover, because that's why Jesus and the disciples got together. This was just before his crucifixion. The second one is Pentecost. That's 50 days later. That is the Hebrew or the Greek word penta means five. Pentecost is 50 days later, celebrating the first fruits of the wheat harvest. They were to go up to Jerusalem. And finally, Tabernacles. That was a Thanksgiving time, also known as the Feast of Booths. But because Israel had spread out so much, it became common by that day in the first century that men would typically only go to one of those festivals. Also, it was back and forth and back and forth. And if they bypassed Samaria from Nazareth, it was a 80, 90-mile trip. And that's a long way when you're doing it by foot or by donkey. Women were not commanded to do that, mostly because they had children. But if you notice, Mary was along. It says his parents, not Joseph. It says his parents were there. I mentioned last week that Mary and Joseph were a unit. They were a team. They had to be, because they were in over their heads. They were raising the Son of God, and they did not have a playbook. So they were together. This is when he was 12 years old. They went up to the festival according to the custom. You know, some suggest that this might have been the very first Passover that Jesus had attended. I don't think so. I think if Mary and Joseph stick together, they took the crew. And it says their friends and relatives went along later on. So I think Jesus probably had been there. But the 12 years old makes a difference. Because at 12 years old, they started getting a male Jewish child, started getting formal education in the Torah training. That's why you take the disciples in the chosen, and they can quote passages of scripture, and you think, how do you do that? They probably couldn't even read, but they were taught orally, getting ready for their bar mitzvah, which was their official 13-year-old celebration of manhood at that day. And what that meant is they became a full member of the covenant community. They were born under the covenant. The law of Moses is given to God on Sinai. And it says, this is what you should do. At age 13, they were accountable for their behavior and their actions in the Jewish society. That's why they were trained. Jesus was 12. He was on the verge of this. In verses 43 and 44, it says, after the festival was over. Now, some of the pilgrims that went there only went for the first part. Remember, Passover, they would do all the preparations. They would sacrifice the lamb. They would eat the lamb. They would roast the lamb and eat it. And it says anything that was left, they would finish the next morning. So that was a two-day event. After that was over, some of the pilgrims went home. But remember it said in Deuteronomy that it had, for 7 days, it had the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Mary and Joseph stayed the full 8 days. They were devout. They were the followers to the letter. They were the people that God chose to raise his son. They stayed the entire time. And it says, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. It's clear here that the God-man was starting to recognize his call. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. he was starting to understand that he was different, that he had a unique ministry, that something in him was leading him to stay behind. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was with their company, they traveled on for a day. What does this mean by company? Coming that 80, 90 miles south to Jerusalem, there were bandits in the country, just like there are today. There are places in town you don't go, not Coopersville, but in Grand Rapids, right, Kathy? You kind of work down in that area. You know, you got to watch out for things going on. And a lone traveler, a guy and his wife or whatever, would be much more of a target than a large group of people. So they traveled as part of a company. So Mary and Joseph, wherever they were in this big group of people traveling back to the north, presumed that Jesus was in this group with his family and friends, and they continued to travel. They traveled one day out of Jerusalem. Some would suggest that Mary and Joseph were negligent, that they should have checked in on that. Usually that's like, remember Saturday Night Live, the church lady? You know, that kind of person. Don't be that kind of person. Others suggest that Jesus was naughty, that, and that means that he would not have a sinless nature because he had disobeyed. We'll get to a little bit more of that later. But really what it was is a presumption that he was just going to do what they expected him to do. Not that they clearly said, you will come along with us. So it said, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Likely this happened the evening of that first day when they got together for a meal. Up to that point, they weren't too worried about it. When they sat down for dinner, there was no Jesus. And that was, we got an empty spot here. What are we going to do about this? So they started looking among their family and friends to see if he was eating with someone else. They began to do a search party. The fact of the matter is that Joseph and Mary had just lost God's son. That's going to pop into their head. Now, this is Mary's birth child, Joseph's adopted child. They're both taking this very seriously, but they had lost God's son. Oops. What do we do about this? They're looking among their family and friends. But it's also their son. There's a double responsibility here. And you can, if you're a parent, you can easily envision here this growing sense of anxiety, this panic, right? Where is our child? Verses 45 through 47, it says, when they did not find him, they looked through the whole caravan, they didn't find him. They went back to Jerusalem to look for him. So we've already known that it took 2 to 3 days to get back north to Galilee. They had gone one day. They got up the next morning and they made the trip back. That's the second day. So they have already doubled their time and they are back at their time, the same place that they had left right here. They're looking for their missing son. And it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. The chronology here is not that they looked in Jerusalem for 3 days. You got one day out, one day back, and the third day, in their reckoning, they found him. They looked through Jerusalem, narrowed it down, and they found him in the temple courts. Sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. The typical mode of a Jewish rabbi, of a teacher, would be question and answer, Q&A. They would ask a question to stimulate another question back, to hear what their disciples were understanding and grasping, to make them think deeper. It wasn't a multiple choice test. It was thinking their way through. In the last 2 weeks, I've been invited to two ordinations, one in January and one in February. I remember preparing for mine. I remember standing right here with 12 pastors there holding my statement and asking me questions. And I had no idea what was going to come out of their mouths. That was the way that the Jews taught and learned. And here, 12-year-old Jesus is sitting among the teachers of Israel in the house of his father, the scholars of his nation. And the commentators noted this is the only place in all the Gospels that the teachers of the law are presented in a positive light. It's the only time when Jesus talked to them that it wasn't a confrontation. Luke goes on and says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Everyone implies that the teachers who were there, the students that were there, and any onlookers who were there listening in were all amazed. The Greek word here means wonder, astonishment, amazement. It's similar to Luke chapter 2, verse 33, when it says the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. That was last week when Simeon told them about what Jesus was going to be, gave them just a little bit of an outline. It says they marveled. It's the same thing. The people who heard Jesus, this 12-year-old boy, were astonished by him. They sat in wonder at how smart he was. It's very clear that Mary and Joseph didn't yet grasp that Jesus was divine. They knew he was gifted. They knew that Messiah was going to be different, but they didn't realize how different. Verses 48 through 50. When his parents saw him, they were what? Astonished. This is another similar Greek term to what we just saw. Wonderment. You know, whatever they expected Jesus to be or doing, this apparently wasn't it. If it was a 12-year-old kid today, what would you find them doing? Sitting, playing on a tablet in front of a computer game, maybe on their phone? And he seeks out the religious scholars of his day, and he sits down, and he's having a one-on-one with them. His parents were astonished, but not so astonished that his mother said to him, son, why have you? Let me see where I've got to find myself. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. You know, some make Mary out to be almost like a demigod. I would contend to you that Mary was 100% mother, and she was 100% human. Mary has that mixture of relief and frustration and anger. She's wearing her emotions on her sleeve, and she's giving it to Jesus right there in front of the crowd. How could you treat us like that? She's assigning motives. You did this to bug us. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is a true story. I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent. A few years ago, I had a relative tell me a story in private, and that's why I'm not using the name. He said that his wife and his older two kids were away doing something, and he was with their youngest, who was about 4 years old at the time. He was outside working. It was a nice day, early spring, summer, and his son was running around in the backyard and whatever, and he was doing something, and all of a sudden he's gone. He is just gone. So he goes in the house, and he calls for him and calls for him, and he ends up going, and he searches every room. He does a quick search of the garage. He starts looking around. He starts to panic. He calls his wife, who's going to head home immediately. He starts going to the neighbors and asking, have you seen this little boy? And they ended up calling the police and like Amber Alert, and that, you know what's going through their mind, abduction and horrible things. And all of a sudden, just like that, his son shows up and he goes, I didn't know whether to hug him or whack him. He said, where were you? 4 years old, he had gone in the garage, found their camping stuff, made a little nest where the sleeping bags were, and he fell asleep in the back of the garage. Scared his dad to death. Does that put it more in perspective here, what Mary was feeling? How could you treat us this way? How many times have you heard your mom at some point say, your father and I, you know? That's to add weight to this. Your father and I are very unhappy with you, you know? Mary's letting him have it because she's human. She feels. She's a mom. But Jesus answers calmly, 12-year-old Jesus, with a question. He says, why were you searching for me? He asked. These are the very first words of Jesus in Scripture. This is the only story of him growing up. The very first words of Jesus was answering his mom's questions with a question. He was expressing to them his priorities. His self-understanding of who he was is somewhat explained by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Paul says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What does that have to do with this? Because theologians for the last 2,000 years have been trying to understand what it is to be the God-man. And every time it falls short, this right here, theologians would call kenosis or emptying, that Jesus laid aside some of his attributes on this earth to be fully human. I do not think that Jesus, when he was an unborn child inside of Mary's stomach, had the mind of an adult thinking, well, here I'm growing and I'm going to get let out of here in a few months. No. You know, we sing in Christmas time, and it says, the cattle were lowing, but the baby doesn't cry. I think Jesus cried. I think he had dirty diapers. I think he was a pretty normal kid, except he didn't have the sin nature. And as he grew, his mind developed more into maturity, these things started coming to him. That's what it means. He set them aside. And the fact of the matter is that Mary and Joseph were not equipped to understand any of this, just like we are. We struggle with this. Theologians can't explain it well. Annie, this is what I was talking to you about this morning, you know, about Christology, about a person who's going in their ordination. What do you think about Christ? There's a lot of heresy about it. What is it? Is he all God and no man, just sort of pretending? Was he a man with some sort of divine streak to him? We can't really understand that. We can't comprehend it. He asked the second question. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? And that really clarifies the first question. When he says, why were you searching for me? He meant, why were you going all over Jerusalem looking all other places? Why didn't you come immediately here? Did you not know that this is where I would gravitate? Think about Jesus, co-eternal Jesus, co-creator Jesus, who lived in heaven in the throne room of God, which the holy place and the most holy place was a model of the throne room of heaven. The ark was the earthly seat of God sitting between the wings of the seraphim. Where would he naturally gravitate to? The religious and spiritual thought of the entire nation. Jesus wasn't being cocky. He wasn't talking back. He was saying, this is where I'm supposed to be. It was a gravitational pull. And he was somewhat curious that they didn't recognize that. But they didn't get the manual. They are figuring it out on the fly. It says, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. This won't be the last time. They did not understand. Even though Jesus had just tried to explain it, they didn't get it. This was above them. And Mary, as a mother, as a Jewish mother, her son is missing. And she, of course, I got to find him. This was all whether she was emotionally capable of grabbing it at that time. This whole thing, their son was a mystery to them. Joseph and Mary did not comprehend the nature of the Emmanuel with them, the Christ. It was over, above their pay grade, right, Laverne? They just didn't get it. This was beyond a boy of Nazareth in a carpenter's shop from Galilee. This was the creator of the world living in their home. Verses 51 and 52, it says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Luke points out that Jesus was not being disobedient here. He did not sin here. I had somebody say, you can't tell me Jesus is sinless. He disobeyed his parents. No, it said he was obedient to them. In this moment, expressing his priorities for the things of God, it got in the way of the priorities of his parents. And he stood back and said, I'm going to do it the right way, the way the Torah said. He followed after them. It says, but his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Does that sound familiar to you? We just read that a couple weeks ago. In Luke chapter 2, verse 39, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That was after she had laid Jesus in the manger and the shepherds came. And they were worshiping him. She didn't understand it all, but she put it away. She meditated on it, cogitated upon it. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He continued to grow, 12 years old. His wisdom, unearthly wisdom. He grew in stature, developed into a man with favor with God and man. This is the only story, the only true story. There are apocryphal books and extra biblical books that talk about the life of Jesus, and they are made up. This is Luke right here, and this is why I truly believe that Luke either sat down and had an audience with Mary herself or someone very close to her to know the inside thoughts, to know what she said to Jesus. How could you treat me this way? Mary kind of lost it. That's why in the series, The Chosen, some love it, some hate it, because they feel like they're rewriting the Bible, but there was all kinds of things that happened like this. If you go to the end of John, and John's the last verse in John's gospel says, Jesus did many other things. He said if they were all written down, they would fill the whole world with the volumes of his life. The people of the Chosen go and they studied Jewish culture then, and they're kind of filling in the blanks a little bit, but I would say it's a dramatized version of the gospel. This is the truth. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in the incarnation? Do you believe in the virgin birth? As we reflect, you know, modern Bible readers, going back to that whole idea of deconstruction, they wrestle with stories like this because the critics say, oh, how would Luke know this? And there's all kinds of, there's historical criticism and source criticism and all these things, and they just keep eroding what faith is. This is not the fault of the author, Luke. This is not a failing in the inspiration of the scriptures through the Holy Spirit. This is not because it is a faulty version of the original manuscripts or even the English translation. Our trouble with understanding scripture lies with us, having the wisdom and discretion to be able to dig in and understand it. Because the incarnation of Jesus is just bigger than us. We can't wrap our head around it. I've done my very best to explain it to you this morning, and you probably still are going to walk out of here and say, I don't get it. That's why I turn back to Spurgeon here. He says, the incarnation. Man became royal when Christ became human. Why? Because he elevated the whole of creation. Man was exalted when Christ became humiliated. Why? Because God used his blood to cleanse us. Man may go up to God now that God has come down to man. That is a great mystery. Is it not? A mystery, certainly, but great in every way. That's the story. Are you going to stick around to hear the rest of Luke with me? I sure hope so. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much that I have this position, this calling. I just pray, Lord, that I do your word justice. I pray that the Holy Spirit pulls all the thoughts together to make us understand you even better, illuminates us. And Lord, it creates a hunger, a desire to dig in more and more, to read, to pray, to grow, to say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord, because we want to meet you. Thank you, Lord. Bless us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.